Welcome back to Leatherheads Footy. My name is Morgan and this is my round 3 AFL Fantasy team review. Going to make this one quite short because I have to go to work. Starting from the back line, Doherty went big against the Giants. A little bit of a trend against the Giants for defenders, and it seems to be that the teams that play pretty fast give up a lot of points to the defenders, getting lots of inside 50s, and then not quite having the numbers there to defend the chip around and getting back out of defense. So I'm really happy with 136 from him. Nick Dacos continues to play really well. He is looking like a lock for a top 6 defender. It just is whether teams try and lock down really, really hard on him with a tag, but he looks like he's just too hard to stop at the moment. Andrew McGrath has been consistent, not bad, not good, just basically scoring at his break even. So he's a little bit of a long-term issue, but short term he's fine. He's scoring mid-price scores. Jordan Ridley, similar to McGrath, except he's a lot more up and down. He went like 80, 60, 100. I kept him for this week. I didn't really want to trade him out anyway, but I kept him for this week for the matchup against St Kilda. St Kilda are giving up a lot of points to defenders with how they're locking down the ground. Similarly, North Melbourne are a little bit as well. But Ridley, 102, probably getting involved in a lot of the switch kicks. That's generally how he gets most of his points, and the Bombers are looking to switch the ball a little bit at the moment. Will Day, I haven't watched that Bombers game, also haven't watched this Hawks North game, but Will Day, I traded him into my team this week for Charlie Constable. I deliberated over it a little bit when Constable was named emergency. I'd originally locked in a different set of trades, but when he was named in the VFL and it was clear that he wasn't going to play, I decided to trade him out basically because my whole philosophy this year has been around flexibility. That's been reflected in the fact that I kept 400 grand spare going into round 2. So I would have that extra flexibility of trades to fix up the mid prices. I actually downgraded in round 2. So I had 700k going into round 3. And then I've got about 350k this round that I can use on trades. And that's all just been around flexibility. I understand that if you've got cash in the bank, you're potentially losing points on field, but I think that the flexibility you get is more valuable than those points because there are so many good mid-price options available in the early part of the season always, and you kind of need to have as many of them as possible. And if you've got that extra cash, it means that you can get more of those mid prices into your team, and I think they'll make up the money over the longer term. I did a similar thing last year and it worked pretty well. I'm probably going a little bit harder on that strategy now and trying to keep more cash in the bank week to week so that I've just got more options with trades and I'm not having to compromise on my trades, which is another one of my philosophies in this developing web of philosophies. So Will Day came in for Constable, and this all ties into the flexibility thing. I knew that Constable was out this week and more than likely will be out next week. I didn't want to have one trade already that was avoidable, basically, for next week. So I knew that trade would be coming. I would do it this week. Instead of trading out two players that are playing, I traded out Constable, who is not playing and probably won't be playing next week. Will Day comes in and scores his best score for the year, 128, and he's now averaging over 100 as a mid-pricer starting about 500k. So he's a fantastic starting selection. I wish I picked him earlier, obviously, but he's good to have in the team. And then Jinby just keeps doing what he's doing. I must have everyone's got him, though, I think. Dunkley, good vice-captain score. Thought he was going to go even bigger. He had a really big first quarter and a half, taking lots of marks around the ground, but got a little bit quieter, but then came back and finished the game quite well for 116. And I take any captain score over 110, basically. That's sort of my line. I'm pretty conservative with it just because you can get hurt pretty bad with bad captain scores. So yeah, anything that's sort of reasonable at all, I'll take that, especially with Max Heath on the interchange. So yeah, I'm going to be looking to use that loophole all year, I think. Tom Green, 110, which is good because I brought him in over after his big round 1 score and he only scored a 90 the next week. So it's good to see him back that up and hopefully can be, 105 guy. Set of field, a little bit disappointing, but he's still going up in price and still looks like a really good pick. St Kilda, yeah, as I mentioned before, they sort of lock down the ground and the midfielders can't get as much of a run. So hopefully he'll bounce back, maybe a bit more of a contested game next week. Not sure who they play though. Warple's a little bit interesting. Him and Callahan, people are starting to get a little bit tired of, and I'm in a similar boat, but I'm going to give them both a little bit more of a chance. With Warple, the change that happened was Morrison came back in for the Hawks. Morrison went onto the wing, and Connor Nash, who normally plays on that wing, moved inside and played like 70% inside minutes. And that moved Warple out of the midfield rotation a little bit, but he had the same number of attendances as he did last week. The last week, same number of attendances. He had an 82, had that 96 in round one. This week, I think maybe just a little bit of an anomaly. 57, that game was very, very high in marks, uncontested marks, in particular to the Hawks, and that's not Warple's game. There was actually a clip of Sam Mitchell telling him that it's not his game to get involved in those little chip marks. That's more like, that's exactly how Will Day plays, and that's how he scored so well. Sicily also had like 130 in this game, but I think that's probably the reason behind Warple's low score, and if the game is a little bit more contested next week, should see him back up to those 80s, so I'm hanging on to him. He's still good value and still going up in price. Callahan, haven't actually watched much of the Giants this year, so I'm not sure how he's going, but at 48, break even of 48. So he's stagnated a little bit. He's one that potentially could look to move on, especially if you're looking to grab some cash. When you've got rookies that are scoring basically the same, he's a good option, I think, for a downgrade. Maybe put an extra rookie on field in his place, and then you could probably upgrade like a Warple to a premium, or upgrade a mid-pricer to like a Zeeble or a Day, something like that. Zeeble was my other trade. I'll skip over the rucks pretty quickly. English and Marshall, I'm really happy with them. Gorn was maybe in contention, and Sean Darcy looks like he's also having a good year. But I'm really happy with these two, sort of set and forget in the ruck line. And then in the forward line, Zeeble was my other trade. I had a couple of guys that I wasn't really happy with. Well, three guys. Horn Francis has been relatively disappointing after his round one, but I was sticking with him because he's got that midfield role. Tanner Bruin has a little bit of a midfield role, but it seems to be diminishing week by week, and he's not scoring well. He's having very low time on ground. And then Tom Powell doesn't really have any midfield time. He's getting like 12% midfield until this point, but he had a good matchup against Hawthorn, was backing him in. Clarko seems to like him. And so I was deciding out of those three, it basically came down to Tom Powell had a good matchup against Hawthorn, and then I knew Jai Simkin was missing for this game. So I thought maybe Tom Powell, he's probably like fifth in line for the midfield. I thought maybe that might push him up. I did in the end, and he played 50% center bounces in this game. It helped that LDU was a late out for that game. So as a result, traded out Tanner Bruin and brought in Zeeble. I had the option to bring in Canelio or Goulden, but Zeeble's just sat a little bit cheaper. I'm worried he's 32, so I'm concerned about that. But it looks like North are happy to chip around the ball in the back line. Hopefully Zeeble and Cheezel can just kick the ball back and forth between themselves. The thing that made my mind up with that decision between Zeeble, Cogs, and Goulden was basically Cogs' break-even is about 100, so I don't think he's going to go up much more in price. And with Kelly Whitfield coming back into the team, I wasn't sure how that would affect him. In the end, he scored 80-odd, and Goulden just has a couple of tough matchups coming up. So he's had Melbourne, then he's got Port Adelaide, Brisbane, I think, coming up soon as well. So, and the final factor was that Zeeble will get defender status in round six, and with my defense not really solid. Like, I think Jimby will be there for a while. Dave and Doherty Dacos, but Ridley McGrath I'm not sold on. So when he gets that defender status, it might just give me a little bit more flexibility, as I've touched on already. Flexibility, fantastic. I can move Zeeble into the back line if he's averaging, you know, 90-odd. And then move one of these guys to a forward or even a midfielder when I've got, a few forwards playing in the midfield. So brought in Zeeble, 78. It's actually pretty much bang on what he's priced at, but his break-even was very low. So he's still going up in price, and I'm fairly happy with that. The rest of the forwards, you know, Rosie, everyone's got him. He's playing well, scoring well. Same with Taranto, playing well, scoring well. The two I've got left are Powell and Horn Francis, and Sheasel, of course, is killing it. So I'm going to be looking to upgrade one of these guys. I think that they're probably the guys that are underperforming slightly, if not a Callahan. And the guy I'm really looking to target is Oliver. There's a few good midfielders. It might depend. If LDU comes back, I'm interested in him, but I think it's really Oliver. Oliver's one guy. He's been a fantastic fantasy player. Watching him closer and closer because of fantasy, just realizing how good he is. And it looks like he's continuing to take his game to new levels and add even more outside run to his game, which means I think he could be in for 120 average this year. He could do what Laird did last year. I think he's a better player than Laird and almost unstoppable. Teams try to tag him, but I think they've almost given up tagging him because it has virtually no impact on his output for the game. And maybe they tag a Petrarca or someone instead. But I think it's going to be a huge season for Oliver. And I'm just really wanting to lock away a really solid captain. Because I've got Doherty, got Dunkley, got Taranto, my two rucks. But I really like a captain that sort of going 130 each week could be the difference over the course of the season. So I'm not really worried about paying that $1 million price tag for a guy that I think is probably the only player left, or the only midfielder left that I can be certain basically is going to be top, you know, top eight mid minimum, but probably more like top four mid, top two mid even. So that's where I'm looking. It'll take a little bit of cash. I worked it out basically. If I can go Philippou down to a basement rookie and get Tom Powell up to Oliver. Otherwise, if I take Horn Francis up, I can go to a slightly above basement rookie. Luke Pedler's suspended this week, but I think I'm going to hold him because he's playing really well and making cash as a forward, averaging like 60 odd. He could be pretty valuable for a few weeks to come. Whereas Philippou, he's stagnated a little bit, and I think he's scoring below his actual potential. He's getting a lot of handballs. Like this last week, I think he had 4 kicks, 10 handballs, only 2 marks and one tackle. So he's not really tackling, he's not really marking, and he's handballing a lot. So I think, you know, at his inflated price, being a high draft pick, he's made a little bit of money. I think he might be the one that has to go this week. But yeah, targeting Clayton Oliver. There's no one else really that I think all the mid prices I've basically got, and now it's that time of year where I'm just going to start bringing in the big dogs, bringing in the premiums that are going to take me to the promised land, hopefully. I didn't even mention my score, but yeah, 21.53, round ranking of 3,500, which I'm happy with. That's my best round ranking of the year, and just shows I'm heading in the right direction, because I was ranked, you know, 30,000 heading into this round. Round ranking inside 4,000, and it halved my rank. So hopefully that shows that I'm heading in the right direction, and these good mid prices that I've been bringing in will hopefully start to compound. And now that I'm starting to bring in the premiums as well, really start to shoot up the ranks, get my team in a really good position over the buys, and then have an assault at winning a hat. Thanks for listening. Before I go, I accidentally disabled comments on the last video because I set it to Made for Kids. Didn't know what that did, but it disables comments apparently. I was wondering why no one was commenting. I'm like, it's got a few views. People should be commenting on this. So comments will be available in this video. If you leave a comment and ask a question, I might not respond to it in the comment. I might save them all up and then respond to them in my trades video. I just feel like I can explain things a little bit better on, you know, on the microphone, on camera, instead of having to explain it over text. And people ask similar questions as well, so I can address them similarly. But yeah. That's me for now. Have a great week, and I'll see you next time.